Well, that's an interesting question. We're actually giving our house here on Rehov Rabbi Meir to another family. And they asked us if we can set them up with candles and so forth and so on. And that maybe will will allow us to free ourselves of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah here in Rabbi Meir. So we'll be lighting Chanukah in Har Nof, and you're all invited to see our Chanukah candles. We'll even give you some donuts if you come by. This year we have some very good cinnamon buns, so please take advantage of that opportunity. You won't see the bonfires of Lag BaOmer, but at least you'll be able to get some good Chanukah stuff. And the page that I'm looking for now is Resh Mem Vav. Resh Mem Vav, that's 246. I know I photocopied it at one stage. It might be in that pile over there, Jeff, that's on your table. Good. And maybe it's in that pile, I don't know.
Is this yours?
No. That's those are the archives. That's free for all. You may have to make a Kiyan Agbah if it's a Metziah, but anyway. So we have the famous machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. He cooks fish in a pot. That pot was used for fleishiks. And now we're not talking about an Eino Ben Yomo, but rather a Ben Yomo. So yesterday's discussion was about a cliche Eino Ben Yomo. Today's discussion is about Nat Bar Nat. And Shmuel says that Nat Bar Nat is mutter, which means that the meat, the tam of the meat goes into the kli. That's what we call tam rishon. Then he cooks fish in the pot, so that's already a tam sheni, where through the intermediary of the kara, the tam of basa goes into the fish. And then he wants to eat the fish with kutach, and that's already a tam shlishi, that's mutter according to Shmuel. Rav says it's asur, and the Gemara explains that Rav says it's also because there's an asinas tam, in other words, the tam of basa went into the fish. Now when you put it into the milk, the kutach, the tam of the milk is going to go into the fish. And now the fish has a combination of two tamim. Which are those two tamim? Basar, v'cholav, and therefore it's us.
They're all ben yom, right?
Everything's a ben yom. So what we want to study today is a prehistoric dishwasher, if you follow what I mean. Today we have dishwashers, and the question is, can you use a dishwasher for both milchiks and fleishiks? And believe it or not, the Rishonim were aware of this question, not with a dishwasher. They had their own method, which is a little bit out of date in those times. But when I was a kid, I don't know if you remember this, we called it a shissel.
Yeah.
You remember the shissel?
It fits in the sink.
Right, it fits into the sink, and that's where we would wash the dishes. So we had one shissel that was red and one that was blue. The Ramban wants to know, do you really need one that's red and one that's blue? Can you wash your dishes, both fleishiks and milchiks, in the same shissel? Not at the same time, but in a way that we're going to apply the rule of Nat Bar Nat. So again, keep in mind, we're talking about a Ben Yomo, but we're talking about a clean utensil. So first you have to start with a little bit of a shmata and make sure that there's no be'en of basar, any real pieces of meat on the outside of the fleishiker pot, correct? So again, don't ask me to repeat this, just get it once so you don't have to ask me again. The pot is a ben yomo, it was used for fleishiks, but it's clean on the outside, but it's not totally clean, but it's clean of any be'en. Do we have that?
Yes.
Now, he wants to take this pot that was used for fleishiks, has a real makoy tam of bas, but doesn't have be'en of bas, so, and he wants to use a machvas chalovis. He's got this large basin, we'll call it, that's milchiks. We use for milchiks today. It's a ben yomo. And it's clean. Does everybody have that? So I don't have to repeat that. And now he wants to place his fleishik, a clean pot. That's a basari pot. That's a ben yomo. And he wants to place it into this basin, which was used for milchiks today, but it's clean of any be'en of cholov. And he lights a fire underneath this machvat, so that the water that he pours into this machvat is boiling hot, and now he takes the kli bisari and he puts it into the machvat chalavit, and the Ramban says it's mutter. Everything is mutter. Why? Says the Ramban, this is a case of not barnat. Let's read the Ramban inside. Yesh lahatir. It's a second paragraph on your page, Reish Mem Vav. Ka'oros shemishtamshin bahem basar shehudchu, that are now being cleaned. The machvas shel cholav bekli rishon. Kli rishon means that there's a fire that's heating up the water underneath this machvas of chalavi. The afal gav dishneim bnei yomon. Everything is a ben yomo. There's no tam pogum here. Sharei tam basar b'mayim. The tam of the basa goes into the water. From the water it goes into the chalavi pot, this machvas chalavis. V'travayu havinat barnat dehetera. Why? Because basically the water is functioning like the fish, if you follow what I mean, in the case of Shmuel. And the tam of the basar went from the basar into the kli, into the kedera bisaris. Now it goes out into the water. And the same is going to be true of the tam of cholov from the machvat chalavit. And therefore you have a case where the water is holding on to a no saint tam bar no saint tam. That's the opinion of the Ramban.
What was the, I missed the first one, when did the chalavi pot interact with the water?
Well, what's happening is that when you turn on the fire underneath the pot, then the tam of the chalav, right, which is balua in the walls of this machvat, now penetrates into the water. At the same time, when you place the...
The machvat was the tool that they cooked the chalavi for the
early... I don't know. We'll try to get into that a little bit later, but let's assume that it was bazech or zeh. You're right. I think that would make life a little easier at this point. So now, he takes a kdeira b'sarit, and he submerges it in this water for purpose of cleaning the kdeira. Rabosa, I'm beginning to think that we spoke about this once. Did we ever speak about this? That dishwashers? I don't remember. Okay. Yeah, Lenny, you remember that we spoke about it? But do we go into detail about it? Okay. I'm assuming we didn't go into detail because this piece is how many pages long? Is about 4 pages long. So I don't remember that we went through this. This is a very... Oh, okay, good. This is a very profound piece. And I'm saying a special prayer to the Ribbono Shalom that I'll be able to, number one, understand it myself, and number two, to transmit it to you. Because it's a beautiful piece if we understand it properly. Now, who are the Misnagdim? Who oppose this Ramban? Every shir has to have a pro and a con, a machlokas, a controversy, otherwise it's not exciting. So we have Tosfos and we have the Ran. Tosfos, we'll see, is on this page that we're looking at now. It's a Tosfos on Daf Kuf Yud Beis of an Aleph, Dibra Maskil Vehilchos. So if you have a month, you'll learn that Tosfos. This is one of the longest Tosfos in Shas. Okay. And there's the Ran, which is on page Resh Mem Zayin. And each of these, the Tosfos and the Ran, give not one, but two reasons why this is usur, and we don't apply the principle of not bar not. Let's start with the Tosfos. In the first explanation of Tosfos, Tosfos introduces a brand new principle in the laws of Kalim, meaning a bliya b'kalim. And that principle is called Shtei Karos Hanogos Zu Bezu. So imagine the following scenario. You've got two pots. One is Fleishix, the other is Milchix. And they come in contact one with the other. According to the Tosfos, in his first answer, what he does is he takes the Kedera B'Sarit and he submerges it into the water in the Machvat B'Sarit. And what happens to the Kedera? It sinks to the bottom of the water. And if you have any problems with that, check out Google. I don't know. But that's what Tosfos says. I'm not going to question the Google part of this, right?
And it's in water.
and it's all in water. But what happens is, because of the weight of the pot sinking to the bottom, Tosus claims in his first explanation there's going to be a negia, a contact between two pots. One is cholov and one is psari. Let's read it inside. Tosus cholkim shall also ladiach karol shall basa b'machva shall cholov b'kli rishon v'af. Okay, that's what we mentioned before, that there's no be'en of meat on the outside of the pot, or no be'en of on chalavi on the bottom part of the inside part of the machvas, because otherwise Tosis didn't have to go through all these somersaults in the air. Says Tosis, why is it also? And you want to underline these words: sharei hakaros nogos. The karos are the fleshika pots, and they come in direct contact with the machvas, which is milchik. The niflatam zelaze, and Tosis says this is not bar not, because the not bar not requires what's called the tam shlishi. Let's go over that one more time. The tam goes from the basar into the walls of the kli, from the walls of the kli to the fish, from the fish into the chalav. So the fish now is the intermediary, bringing a tam sheni into the kutach, which is now a tam shlishi. So the combination of the meat tam and the milchiks in the kutach is going to be a tam shlishi. Not so in this case. In this case, there's a tam sheni and a tam sheni, and there's going to be a transmission of tam directly from one tam sheni to another tam sheni. And we don't view the walls of the kli. Let's say it's a metal pot. We don't see the metal as something that is an intermediary, but rather the tam, through this process of bishul, obviously there's hot water here, is going to go directly from the fleshika pot into the milchika pot, and vice versa. So that both pots become osur here. Why? Because there's a direct contact between the two pots. And Rabbeinu said the truth of the matter is, to analyze this first answer Tosis, we would require a lot more research, and I'll tell you why. We have a principle that ain blia yotzeis mi kedera lekedera below rota. What it means is that the mechanics of blia and the way that a tam balua is transmitted is through rotev. It's got to be some intermediary of a liquid. And now Tosis is saying no, that if you have an agia between two pots, then the tam goes directly from one pot to the other. So again, as I said, that's not the dimension of our sugya. That has to be taken under advisement. But, you know, let's see. Maybe one day we'll come back to this. Tosis says that the two pots are no-go zubazu, and therefore there's going to be a combination of a tam sheni of basar v'cholav, and it's not Shmuel's not bar not the hetero, which is tam shlishi. That's the first explanation of Tosis.
And yeah. The assumption is that these pots were used with bishul. That the original Belia went into the pot through Bishul, and now we're doing Bishul again.
Not exactly Bishul. I don't think the Tosis is going as far as to say Bishul. He's saying that the heat that's generated here, which heats up both pots, is going to allow the blia to jump from one pot to the other. Why? Because there's a contact between the two pots.
So he's not going to say Kabbalah Kapoto, that the blia has now come out into the medium, into the water. There's something wrong with
again,
water.
You know, if that would be the case, let's say, for example, according to Tosis, if let's say there was no contact between the two,
between the two
karos, or the kara and the machvas, whatever you want to call it, then it would be the water that's playing the role of a medium, and therefore you'd have the tam sheni going into the water. The water now, if it's going to transmit that tam over to the machvat chalavit, that's already going to be a tam shlishi. And vice versa. But here Tosis says, forget about the water. We can circumvent the mayim completely. Why? Because the pot is going to sink to the bottom. Again, if it doesn't sink to the bottom, if Google tells you it won't sink to the bottom, then it's not bar not. And the Ramban is right. But if it sinks to the bottom, Tosis has this new chiddush, this new mechanics in Hilchas Belia, that you can have a blia of a tam that goes directly from one kli, from the walls of one kli into the walls of the other kli. And therefore both kelim now have a tam sheni of basa b'chol.
So Why is this called Tosis Yecholik and Rambam? He's talking about different Metzias altogether.
I don't know. I guess he, again, that you have to ask Google. I think he's assuming it's always going to be like that. If I remember my youth, in the case of a shissel, whatever you put in the shissel sank to the bottom. But now you'll ask Google and he'll give you a different answer. I don't know. I didn't Google.
So Tosis Yecholik and Rambam believe that as well.
Yeah, there was no doubt in Tosa's mind. If we would stop the whole mechanics now at this point, we'd have to understand how the Ramban, well, actually, it's really how Tosus is going to operate, because we don't have this halacha that there's a bliya that jumps from one kli to the other just because of negiyah. This has to be taken under advisement. Right. So I don't have any problem with the Ramban. On the contrary, my problem is with Tosus, actually. Right.
But if it's going to sink down, there's been a negiyah, but there's not going to be a negiyah with every single part of both kelim. I mean, that's not possible.
So now you have to know about you have to know exactly about what's called shishim in the case of Bliya B'Kalin. Yeah. So this has to do with a principle called Cham Miksos or Cham Kulo. Again, for example, we always assume that if you have a Kli B'Sari, then there'll definitely be enough tam basa to go into the pot, and there won't be shishim. Again, so you have to know, all the mechanics
connected.
There.
It's all connected to each other. If you open up one part, all of it is connected.
Correct, and there's not going to be shishim here.
No.
The Od. Now, this is the more important part that I wanted to get to for today. Yeah. And that's the second explanation of Tosfos as to why he disagrees with the Ramban. This already is going to touch on the definition of not bar not. He says the following. Forget about Negias, Kederos, and so forth.
Erase
it from your memory for the time being. He says, Lodomi klal, Lidogim sha'olu bekara. I mean, now he's saying it's a fundamental word. Why? Ta'kishetam asheni shal basar v'shal cholov nichnesu mi b'mayim miyad nesru hamayim v'chozrim v'osrim akaros v'amachvas. Wow. He is now saying that the reason why both kelim will be osur, the fleshik and the milchik, is because of the mayim. The mayim becomes basar v'cholov. Not so in the case of fish. In the case of fish, the fish picks up the tam of basar and transmit that tam over to the kutach. Here what's happening is that two things are happening simultaneously in the mayim. The mayim is receiving both a tam basar and a tam cholav. Then, therefore, the mayim becomes boss of a chola. Now, when the mayim goes back into each keli, it means that each keli is now being bolea, boss of a chola.
So the mayim is chanan.
Maybe it's chanan, I don't know. You have to figure out whether or not there's chanan and bliya b'kelim. I think we touched on this once in the past. There's a Ravan that says, and the Shulchan Aruch seems to rely on this Ramban in Shas Adchak, that there's no such thing as chanan and bliya b'kelim. Okay, so it could be that Hanan would not apply over here. But again, what I'm asking you to do, because I need you to go with me and not against me, in building this sugya slowly, step by step, is to understand that Tosus in his second shot pulls like a rabbit out of his hat, and he says the following. Wait a minute. Let's analyze this case. There's going to be an immediate Blia of both Basar and Cholav, a Tam Basar and a Tam Cholav, where? In the Mayim. This is not the case of Not Bar Not. Not Bar Not means, I always quote, from my youth, they used to, when you sent the telegram, you used to say stop. You remember that? It's a period, right? So what's happening here, according to Tosfos, is that there's a stop. That's what Shmuel has in mind. Shmuel says that when he cooks the fish in the fleshika pot, stop. Now he's got a tam of basar in the dogim. Now you want to take that tam of basar, which is a tam sheni, and combine it with kutach in a tam of cholav. That becomes a tam shlishi. But luyitzuyer, let's say you would take a piece of fish and cook that fish in two different pots. I don't know if you have to know Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, but forget about that. Just conceptually, if you could be with me on a conceptual level. Let's say you took the fish and there was a tam of basar and a tam chol of entering into that fish simultaneously, there's no stop, then that fish would now be bolea both a tam of basar and a tam of chol. Now it could be that if it's coming through a keli, that's called a tam sheni. But what happens when two tam shenis of basar and chol penetrate into one foodstuff simultaneously? That's not Shmuel, says Tosfos. Shmuel talks about bazeh achar zeh, meaning that we can stop and take a deep breath when the tam sheni enters into the fish, and right now we can look at the fish and say it's heterobola. Now you want to take that heterobola, combine it with the tam of chutach and the tam shlishi, then we have the principle called not barnat and Shmuel is matir. But if you had a case in which both the tam of cholav and the tam of basa was entering into the same foodstuff at the same moment, such that you can't set up a tam shlishi because basically the mayim is receiving a tam shady of both basa and cholav, in that case the mayim becomes asur b'toras basa b'cholav, and now the kalim of both bolea the tam of the mayim, and the mayim is going to bring you a tam into both kalim of basa b'cholav.
Why can't you use the same argument with the fish and say that once the fish was eaten with the kutach, then the kutach is getting it in one after the other, but the dag now has already been exposed to the basar, and now the kutach and the dag becomes
right.
A chassid.
So the rav is going to explain that if it's not miyad, meaning if at some point you have a blia of a tam sheni in the fish, we can apply the principle of a teribola. We can say that tam is a tam sheni. As soon as we get to Shlav Gimel, meaning a third stage, and now we combine that Tam Sheni with another Tam, we have the right to say that that's called a Tam Shlishi. That's the case of Shmuel. But Shmuel never said that if I take the fish and I simultaneously penetrate two Tamim of Basar and Cholav into that fish, that we can apply the principle of Nat Bar Nat. Shmuel, according to the second answer of Tosfos, requires that there be some sort of bazech or zeh process.
What's the spark for that?
Because at some point we want to determine that there is a tam shady of heter. We can only do that if it's bazech or zeh. If it's bavasachas, you cannot apply tam shady of heter because there's a tam shady of iser now as a result of two tamim that simultaneously combine in one foodstuff. Again, let's leave it to the Rav to try to explain it. I'm just giving you my gut reaction. I mean, again, this is a very long piece in Rav Salvechi. Now, wait a second. Before we go on, let's point out that Tosfos is not the only one who's against this kind of one single gender washing machine, or dishwasher, I should call it. But the Ran is also objecting. And the Ran, like Tosfos, gives two explanations as to why he objects to the Ramban. And what we want to do now is analyze these two understandings and see if they parallel the two explanations of Tosfos. What does the Ran say? So his first explanation, which you'll see on page Resh Mem Zion on the second line, is that the tam of the basar and the tam of the cholov misarvim below shalom be'emtza'ut hamayim. In other words, not like Tosfos' second answer, which sets up a mayim issue, if you follow what I mean, because now the mayim was bolea both a tam sheni of bas and a tam sheni of cholov. Says the Ran, forget about the mayim. There is a way of understanding the problem here, meaning why there's no not bar not, even though the mayim is not considered an emtza'i. Says the Ran, why? She'en atam nivla b'mayim, el harehu misarev lekan ulekan b'tocha mayim.
What? What is the difference between mayim and tocha mayim?
Just one second. Again, so far, let's just say what we know about this Ran. This is not easy. You know, we're going to work on this very hard. The Ran says that you can talk about two concepts. One concept is called blia, and the other concept is called a taroves. And he says the following. Shmuel's not bar not is a case of blia. But sometimes, right, and blia means that the fish now serves as the intermediary because the fish was bolea a tam of baso, which it's now transmitting. So if that's called an intermediary, Shmuel is going to apply the principle of not bar not mutter. But he says that there's another way of setting up something that looks like not bar not, but it really is not bar not. And that's called a taroves of two tamim without blia. And he says that in the case of the mayim, we have here a taroves of both basar and cholov without blia. So again, a follow, again, we can only understand part of what he says, but at least what we do understand is that it's not pshat that the mayim were bolea both the tam of cholov and the tam of cholov, that would tam of basar, so that would be not bar not, but rather there's a taroves in which both basar and cholov, again we're holding out tam ki ikar, so the tam of basar and the tam of cholov are both mixing together in the mayim. Mayim are not bolea, there's no blia of the mayim. You know, you can talk about blia in let's say fish, you know, fish could be bolea, but here it's an absolute taroves of both basar and cholov, meaning tam basar and tam cholov, in the mayim.
How is that different from what tells the second answer?
Well, let's see the second answer of the Ran, and we're going to see that the second answer of the Ran is really Tosis' second answer, meaning in the second answer of the Ran is going to assume that there's a blia into the mayim, and the problem here is the problem that the mayim now becomes basar b'cholov because of its being bolea. He says the following. Beis, no, this is on the fifth line down. Lo sharina not bar not, elikisha amad tam sheni beheta. Underline the word amad. Amad, it's like in Hilchas Oksa, you know, amad lofus, right? There's an amida here. There's a, I call it a stop. Amad tam sheni beheta. The low tarovis, at this point in time, there was no mixture of the tam of basar, which is a tam sheni, that's in the fish of basar. Abul Khan, but here in the case of the dishwasher, he says, lo amad tam sheni bifnei atzmo. There was never a moment in time that you could say that we had a tam sheni unto itself. El Tekaf, says the Ran, immediately after Bali Olam, right after that tam sheni comes into the world, miyad nisarev betamo shel cholov umemela hu osur. V'nira, says Rav Soloveitchik, that kavonas hatosvis in his second answer is kibir ha'achron shekosav haran. Because if you read Tosus carefully in his second answer, he writes, "Darkishatam Hasheni shall bosom shall chol nichnas b'mayim miyad nesru hamayim," and that's what the Ran means when he says that not bar not only applies when kisha amad tam sheni beheter. V'nireh the time of the milsa, meaning both the second answer of the Tosus, which I identify now with the second answer of the Ran, the Sfir Lehu Tosus V'aran, the Nak Bar Nat Eino Mutter, Elim Kain B'Shosh and Nivla Tama Bosar, B'Chaticha Shnia. Right, what he means by Chaticha Shnia, it means in the fish, right, the Chaticha Rishona was the meat that you cooked in the pot. Right. Now you have a blia of meat in the walls of the pot,
right,
and now you introduce another chaticha, let's call it the fish. And he says at this moment in time, lo haya omeid, he's talking about the tam of basa, lo haya omeid litztaref im tam acholah. I don't care what your intention is, he says, but in the objective reality of the physics of it, you cannot say that this tam is omeid litztaref im tam acholah. Again, he may have decided, and maybe that was his plan from the get-go, but as far as the tam itself, the tam is not only litztaref. Maybe a month from now, he'll decide to put this into kutach, the fish into kutach. Masha'en kein hacha, but here now, dishwasher case, is nifla taimo shal abosav, a taimo shal cholav bahari adodi, simultaneously the tam of bos and the tam of cholav are spit forth into the mayim, and therefore you cannot apply the principle of not bar not. Not bar not has to break up the tziruf between the tam of basar and the tam cholov. How do you break up the tziruf between the tam of cholov and the tam basar? With the principle called eino omed litztarif. You want to be mitzarif the two? Is it omed litztarif or it's not omed litztarif? So if you have a tam sheni of basar and you want to know whether it's not bar not, and Shmuel will be matrid, ask yourself the following question: is that tam sheni of basar omed litztarif or it's not omed litztarif? Look at the moment in which that tam came out of the kli. That's your critical moment. That reminds us of that discussion of yesterday when we spoke about the Tosis at the end of Avodah Zarah, for those who were with me yesterday, that it's considered a Kli Ben Yomo because the moment of the Blia, it was Kulo Asur, it was an Iser Gomor, it was a Tam L'Shva. Here also, when I look at the Tam, when it first comes out of this Kli, the Tam of Basar, am I seeing this as a Tam that's Omed Litztarifim Cholov or it's not Omed Litztarifim Cholov? Herein, according to Tosa's second explanation, the Ran section lies the difference between Shmuel's no Saint Tam Lifka, not Bar Not, and the case of the dishwash. In the case of Shmuel, the Tam Basar can be dealt with independently because it's not Omed Litztarif. I have a right, therefore, to set up a chatzitza, so to speak, between the Tam Basar and its mixture with the Tam Cholov, because the Tam Basar, in its original inception, meaning when it came out of the Kli Basari and went into the fish, at that moment it wasn't Omed Litztarif im Tam Cholov. Masha Enkin, in this case of the dishwashing, when there's a fire going underneath two kelim. One keli is fleishix and one is milchix. The two tamim are omdim litztarif from the moment that tam is expelled from the walls of the two kelim. At this point, the Rav is not dedicating any time whatsoever, neither to the first explanation of Tosus nor the first explanation of the Ran. But he wants to know la halacha. How do we pask? So he says you have to open up Simon Sadi Hey. I don't have it here, but it's not necessary. And there's going to be a machlokas here between the Machaber and the Rambam. Now, if the machlokas in its original inception is between the Ramban and Tosfos, where do you expect the Machaber to paskin? Like the Ramban, again, assuming it's the Ramban and others, usually the Ramban is also representative of other Sephardic poskim, like the Rashba, etc. In this case, the Ran jumped ship, though, right? And the Machaber Paskins Kedas HaRamban, Shem Hutchu Karos Shel Basar B'Yorach Oleves HaKol Mutter Tehavi Nat Bar Nat Teheteru. So again, if we have a chance, then Beli Neder will open up the Shulchan Aruch to Siman Tzadihei, Siv Gimel, and we'll see this in the Machaber. The Ramah disagrees, and he quotes the opinion of Tosus and the Ran, and everything is awesome. And then the Ramah adds one very interesting comment. What is the nature of the shisel? Up until now, we've said that the shisel is a machvat chalavit, right, when I call it the shisel. Right. Says the Ramah, in hudchu klei basar uklei cholav, bazeh achar zeh, biyora she'eno lo shel basar velo shel cholav, hakol shari. I asked you at the inception here, can I use the same shisel and wash both my fleishik kekelim and my milchik kekelim, bazech or zeh, in the same shisel?
And they're b'nei yoman.
Everything is b'nei yoman. I'm not going to repeat myself. Everything is clean. I'm not going to repeat myself. I said it five times. That should be enough. But listen carefully, Rabosai. We thought that my scenario about using a shisel for both milchix and fleishix, right? Not the red one and the blue one, but let's call it a yellow one. And that certainly would be also according to the Ramah, who paskins like Tosis and the Ran. And guess what? It's mutter. That is called not bar not. Now, how do we understand this kula of the Ramah? I mean, if the Ramah is going with the Ramban and the Ran, he should have prohibited it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Tosis. I meant to say the Ran and Tosis. What did I say?
Ramban.
Okay. And here he says Hakol Shari. So the answer is Pile Plun. The Ramah passes like Tosfos, but the first answer is Tosfos. Again, we'll have to see what the first answer of the Rosh is. We're a little bit perplexed about that. We need a guide.
But in the second,
do you follow what's going on over here? Yeah. This is like mamish brilliant. What we're saying is that the first explanation of Tosfos was what? What was the key word? Negiah. Remember Negiah? Yeah. There was a Negiah of two pots.
Right. It can't be Negiah when it's the Achazah.
Right. It can't be Negiah of two pots, but Zecher Zeh. Do you follow?
Yeah.
So if you, again, I'm skipping one very critical line here for a minute, but if you look at the next paragraph, he says, Poshut, Dilidea Achas. Oh, okay, so that's relevant to the next line in the Ramah. Sorry, so I jumped the gun here. Yeah. So Alan, you want to give me just 5 minutes just to sort of get the whole picture here. So the Ramah is paskening that it's also to be madiach, clay basar, and clay cholov in a kli chalavi, or the reverse. But it's mutter to do this bazach or zeh in the case of a yora she'eno lo basar v'lo cholov. And here's the punchline. Says the Ramah, Now watch what goes on here. You know, and we've discussed it in the past, that there's a hechsher, a way of kashering kelim with what's called irui kli rishon. Let's say you have karos and kosos, which are never used as kli bishul, so they're never on the fire. And the only time that there's a bliya is with irui kli rishon. So we're going to apply the principle of kabbalto kapoto, and we're going to do irui kli rishon. Now watch what happens. You have, let's say, a milcha kekeli, a cup or a plate that was never used on the fire, and you want to be machshir it. So you need iri kli rishon. What is the nature of that kli? Is it chalavi or bisari that you use for the iri kli rishon? Do you follow what I'm saying? I heat up a mecham mayim, and now I want to pour it onto a kli that was bolea the kli rishon. Do you follow? I'm sorry. Yeah. That was Bolea Be'iri Kli Rishon.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Now let's say, again, I'm going to give you the following case. The Kli on the bottom that needs Irui is a Milcha Kekeli.
Right.
And you grab a Kli, which you heat up with water in order to be Ma'ar, and that Kli is a Kli Bisari. Mm-hmm. Says the Ramah, in such a case, then everything's awesome. Again, it's Ben Yomo. I don't want to have to repeat myself. He says the following. If Ira mikli rishon shel basar, al kli chalavi, dino ki kli rishon. This has to do with the status of Iri kli rishon, whether it's considered ki kli rishon or not ki kli rishon. The oser im hoya Ben Yomo. Unbelievable. Halach l'maisa, what this means is that Ramah is going to warn you with all the warnings in the world that if you're doing Iri Kli Rishon, make sure that you either have a parva Kli that you're using for the Iri, or it's the same gender as the Kli on which you're doing the Iri. Because if it's the opposite gender, says the Ramah, it's as if you cook them together.
Wait a minute.
Just, I want to get to the punchline before they yell for mincha. Here's the punchline. Vehine zeh poshut, says the Rav, Dilidea Rishona Bitosvis, Shakaros Vayoros Asurim Itnation Nogim Zebazer. We don't understand the Ramah. If the Ramah was accepting Tosis in his first answer, then the Ramah makes no sense. Why? Because in the case of Irui, there's no Negia between the two Kalim. And what would be the basis for prohibiting this? And then he tells you to look in the Taz. Oh, so this is going to be fascinating, because if the Ramah is rejecting the first answer of Tosfos, then we have to go back to the case of Hutchu Kli Basar Kli Cholov Bezech Hazeh, which seems to reflect the first answer of Tosfos. And he writes, V'nira Dehua Dinami I Efshal Lefari Shita Satosfos Al Pi Bir HaRishon Shehevi Aran Shakaros Vayosros Vayora Asurim Nineshetam Ambosim Vitam Achol Misarvim Below Emtsos Hamayim. Okay, we're not sure exactly what the Ran had in mind, But he says that we don't need the halachas of Bliya here, but rather we have a Tam Basan and Tam Cholav in a Taroves. Din Kain, if that be the case, Amai Hiter Arama Im Hudchu Kalim Bazachar Zeh. He says the following, that even in the case of Bazachar Zeh, okay, this point we'll have to take up for Mirza Shem on Sunday, but just to get the general concept of it without the deep specifics, he says that according to the Ran, it should be irrelevant whether it's Hudchu Bazech or Zeh or not. That was the point of the Ramah, that was Hudchu Zeh or Zeh. He says the following, that if according to the Ran, in his first answer, the Ran says that there's no Nak Bar Nat Et Teira here because we have a Taroves of Tam Basan and Tam Cholov, it would be irrelevant whether it was Bazech or Zeh or it was Bavasachas. El Al Korchuk Tzorch Lomer Desfilu L'Ramah Kibira Achron Sheberan, which we identified with the second answer Tosfos. The Hainu Taima Shakaros Vayoros Asur Mipnei Shelo Omad Tam Sheni Behete Belo Taroves. In other words, what we have is a royal litztarif. It's only litztarif because both of these tamim are coming simultaneously into the mayim. Klomer shebishosha niflat tam abasa b'tocha mayim. Kvar haya omed litztarif ulisarev im tam hacholav. Because immediately both of the tamim are penetrating into the cholav. Umihai taima yesh lesar. The Ramah will be machmir im ira mikli basa likli cholav. The hasam tama niflat mikli shel basa nichnas miyad l'toch hakli shel cholav. Not sure if I understand this. He's saying that both tamim, the tam of basa from the kli that he's pouring, and the tam of the cholav mixed together simultaneously. So therefore, it was omid litztarif. I'm not sure if I understand this line. Why is that called omid litztarif? I mean, he had a kli that was used for fleishiks, and now he wants to use it for irui. I'm not sure whether it's omid litztarif. I don't get it. If he can help me with this one line, I mean, again, you know, if I would understand his logic, I would be jumping, for joy. But I just don't understand technically. He justifies the Ramah who asks Irui from a Kli Basa to Kli Cholav based on the fact that the Ramah accepts Tosfos. And if he accepts Tosfos, that's why he's making him Bazechar Zeh. But if that be the case, why should it be Machmir in the case of Iri Kli Basa to Kli Cholav? And he says in such a case it's Omid Litztarif. I'm not sure why it's Omid Litztarif. What makes it Omid Litztarif? Did he add water for the purpose of pouring it into the Kli Chalavi? So that intention makes it omid litztarif. I mean, what happens if he cooked the fish in a fleishik pot? He had full intention to take the fish and put it into milchiks. Is that going to make any difference? Is that going to make a dent in the halacha? We're going to say that therefore it's omid litztarif because that was his original intention. This I don't understand.
Well, just tell me very quickly. What do you do with the water?
After? We almost got to the finish.
When you do the what do you what do you